Well, I have to confess to you that this is one of my favorite Sundays, maybe for selfish reasons. If you have ever been engaged in ministry long term, then you know by experience that you can do the work and you don't always get to see the fruit. Because the fruit of ministry is sometimes difficult to perceive. It's not measured in seats filled at a service. It's not measured in the size of your building or the size of a church's budget. Those things are attractive and tangible, and we like to brag about them. But that's not really what the fruit of ministry is about. It's about introducing people to Jesus Christ and then watching and helping as God changes hearts and lives. Sometimes that's very evident. It's very visible. Everybody gets to see it. And when we see hearts and lives being changed and transformed, man, we praise God, we celebrate it, we enjoy it. But sometimes the change and transformation that takes place is only known between you and God. But these are the most important. And this is a Sunday where, as a church, we take time to tell those sorts of stories, where we look back over the last year of our life and say, this is what God has been doing in me. And I have found that sometimes this has been the most encouraging Sunday of the year for me as a pastor. So I will go ahead and kind of get this going, but that means we start with a bit of a problem, because anytime you hand a microphone to a pastor and tell him to offer testimony, it always turns into a sermon. Can't help it. That's how it goes. So what I did this morning to help prevent that was I just made a list. I'm just going to give you a list this morning of the things that I think God has been trying to teach me, work in me over the last year. And the way I came up with this list is I sat down the other day and I just read through all of the journal entries I made over the last year. Do I have any journalers in here? Okay, a handful of you. I confess, I'm not really a journaler. I just pretend to be one. I aspire to be one. I was able to read through all of them because, like, there's less than 15 for the whole year. It was really sad. I know. But as I read through it, I discovered that the last year of my life with God had a shape, a contour to it. It was something like a journey where I arrived at a good place. I'm just not sure how I got there. Have we had this experience? You get home, you park the car in the driveway, you left work, and you're like, well, okay, I was at work, I got home, but my mind must have been somewhere else because I don't remember any of the drive here. Anybody have that experience? Just me? Do we need to take my license? It doesn't happen often, I promise. But that was something of my year, and it's interesting how it began. It's the sort of year where, among the many things God's teaching me, it's been a year where he's been trying to teach me patience. And that, by definition, I think is difficult. It's the sort of experience that doesn't always testify well, right? It's not the sort of story you want to hear. The stories are all the same. They're like, well, I was really annoyed and frustrated with this situation. There's nothing I could do about it, so I had to learn patience. And then there's another story like that and another one like that, and you don't want to hear them. But let's just say it this way. As I read through my journal, I realized at the beginning of last year, I began in a place, I would use words like this to describe it. Angst, consternation, frustration. I wouldn't use words like peace, joy, calm. I was much more frustrated than that. And as I read through, when I journal, I don't really like, I don't know how you guys do it. Mine are more like prayers written out to God. And they sounded like prayers of desperation. God, where is the joy and the peace that your word promises to those people who follow you? Because, Lord, it seems like right now I'm not experiencing that. And it seems to me that if anybody following you should have peace, it should probably be the pastor. But I'm not feeling it right now, God. There's too many times, God, where I'm walking into situations where, if I'm honest, I just don't know what to do. And none of the people I ask advice from, they don't know what to do either. And it's frustrating, God. Where's the peace and the joy you promise? And so early in the year last year, I decided that what I needed to do is to take a spiritual retreat. And I did. I went away and I got to a quiet place. There was no television, no internet. There was barely phone service. It was wonderful. And I had to get away by myself to a quiet place to be with God for a couple of reasons. One, I needed some time and space to seek God for how he wants me to lead this church. I needed to do some sermon prep and sermon writing and planning and all that goes with leading a church. And then I needed some personal time. I needed to get alone with God and ask him some questions and get some answers. And so I went and I was alone and I was quiet for longer periods of time than what I was comfortable with. And the sermon writing part went great. That the hearing from God about what to preach and lead last year, that was fine. It was the personal stuff that was really frustrating. Because it was the strangest experience I've ever had with God, or one of them. And maybe you've had the experience where you're praying and it just doesn't seem like God's there. It feels like you're praying to the ceiling and you're hearing nothing and you don't sense his presence and God feels a million miles away. Now, we all know that that's really a comment about our feelings and not the reality of God's presence. But I think everybody goes through seasons of life where it feels like God is distant, but this wasn't that experience. I'm sitting in the room and it's like the presence of God was tangible. I'm like, great, you're here. I've got some questions. And he said nothing. It's like, I know you're here. I need some answers. It's like all he wanted to say was, well, I'm here. Is that enough? No. I need answers. And the whole time I was gone, nothing. Nothing. I knew he was there. I could sense his presence, but it's like he was refusing to say anything to me. And I walked away from the experience saying the only thing I thought I could say, well, I guess I'm going to have to trust that God gives us the experiences we need, even if they're not the ones that we want. Now, I say that, I'm sure it sounds very pious and it wasn't. It was something I said in desperation. And that just seemed to be the sort of year I was having where none of the things that God was leading me to, the experiences I had, were what I wanted or what I expected they would be. As I wrote in my journal, one of the more productive seasons of journal writing, it was like a couple pages, I was going through Scripture. And I was finding the promises of God, and I would just write them down. And as I read through the ones that I chose to write down, this one really jumped out at me as one that probably describes last year for me. It comes from Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They're new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Now, you might hear that and say, well, that sounds really positive and uplifting. Yeah, go read the rest of Lamentations. It's a lament. What's intermixed in chapter 3 is ascribing to God his faithfulness, his goodness, his love, and then being honest about the reality that Jeremiah finds himself in. And so he continues, he says this, and these are hard words. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. Oh, this is a hard one. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man that he bear the yoke in his youth. That's suffering and difficulty, by the way. Are you sure it's good? Let him sit alone in silence, which is hard for a preacher to do. Let him sit alone in silence when it is laid on him. Let him put his mouth in the dust. There may yet be hope. Let him give his cheek to the one who strikes, and let him be filled with insults. For the Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not afflict from his heart or grieve the children of men. So something strange happened to me. I only began to realize that the last couple months of this last year, people around me who were looking into my life began saying, you know, you seem to be at peace. You seem a lot more calm and peaceful than what you've been. Which was amazing to me, considering all the things that had happened to me in the year before and the situations that God brought me to that I didn't want and the sort of experiences I thought I was going to get that he didn't give me, and especially considering most of last year is what Amanda and I call the year of the baby. We've told some of you about this. It's a pleasant fiction we've told ourselves. It's a fiction because it's only half true. It's kind of true, but not really true. And what we've told ourselves is that the first year of a baby, the first year of a child is always the hardest, and then it gets really easy after that. And it's true in the sense that I think the first year is the hardest. It's not true in that it doesn't really get that much easier after that. The second year's work, too. And it was just a year where we were giving a lot of time and attention and all of these things, and yet somehow I arrived at a place of peace and calm in God. In ways that I never would have anticipated, God brought me to the answer of the prayer I was praying at the very beginning of the year. But to be honest, I'm not entirely sure how I got there. I told you I was going to read you a list. Man, I started preaching, didn't I? All right, here's the list. This is what God is teaching me. Slow is good. I do my best work when I slow down. Patience is essential for peace. I must forgive often and freely. For without a radical practice of forgiveness, there is no real community. And I have to learn to trust the experiences that God gives me. Because more likely than not, in the midst of it, he is answering the prayer I've prayed, only not the way I want him to. Only because he can't. If God tried to answer my prayer the way I want him to, well, he couldn't. My way doesn't lead to the answer, but his way does. And so I have to learn to trust that. To trust that maybe God will bring me the answer to prayer that I need, that I want. And I may not know how I got there, but I have to trust. So those are the things that God has been working in me. Those are the things God has been teaching me. And I know that God has been teaching you, because I will say something different about this last year as a pastor getting to look into your lives. I've seen a lot of you go through what I can probably just best describe as a lot of pain. And yet what I've observed is the presence of God in the midst of all of it, the working of God in your lives. And I know everybody else will be excited to hear those stories as well. So I'll grab a microphone. You stand up when you're ready to share, and I'll bring it to you.
This past year has been rather difficult on me. Last November, 2 days before Thanksgiving, our son attempted suicide, and we spent Thanksgiving with him in a psychiatric ward. And for reasons that were out of our control, some of it Brad and I both knew, some of it we did not. I've dealt with depression and anxiety, since I was young, but I have never dealt with anger so much that it changed who I was. I spent months and months in counseling and traditional counseling, and I wasn't getting anywhere. I can tell my head whatever I want to. It's my heart that needed changed. I had a big void in my life. My coworkers, my family knew that it was changing who I was, and I was not okay with that. And one day, working in the clinic with my provider, we had a patient come in and say, "Hey, I know this really good Christian counselor, and if you ever need anybody to go see her, here's her number. God bless her." We did seven 3-hour sessions, and each one of those sessions I came out exhausted. We spent hours upon hours in prayer. And then December 19th was our last session. And it hit me like a ton of bricks that day. My son, my daughter, as much pain as they have gone through this, they're not mine. They are just as much God's children as I am, as my husband is. We do our best. He changed my heart, where there was pieces missing. He filled it in. I am able to work with people who before, when I know what has happened, it was very, very difficult. Probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to do is put on my happy face and go forth and treat you as I do everybody else. That was difficult. But again, it's all God's. It's not mine to carry around. The heavy burdens that we face in life aren't ours to carry around. I've learned a lot of grace. I have found a deeper peace than I have ever known in my relationship with Christ. For that, I am very, very thankful. I was reading the other day in an Ann Voskamp's Waymaker. Life isn't hard because of the roads we travel. It's because of the excess baggage that we carry and our expectations. As a parent, I expect to raise my child and get him through. But there were bumps in the road that I had no control over. But each step of the way in my journey, in his journey, in my husband's journey, and in anybody's journey, God is right there with you. He's always there. And for that, I am very grateful. I have come a long way. I think our family has come a long way.
Glad to hear that. Thank you for sharing that. Who else this morning has a story about what God has been doing in your life?
God is always doing something. my thoughts are kind of going in different directions this morning, but thank you, Crystal, for sharing. I really appreciate that. I will say the first year of a child's life is not the hardest. Hate to break it to you. Yeah. I'm not old, but I'm getting there. And one of the things that happens as you realize, okay, that part of the road is much longer than this part of the road. And I can always look back and see God's provision and protection over us. You know, there's definitely been challenges. But one of the overwhelming thoughts of my life this year has been how my own kids have been challenged in their life and how that has empowered them and strengthened them to just put their faith more deeply in God and really growing in that way. And it's just, for me, it's humbling because I don't feel that I contributed that much to them in their spiritual growth. But they're God's kids, and I contributed some, but God is growing them, and I'm just so thankful for that. This summer, that while I was off work and Rick was actually off work too, we were doing some just family growth and family couple challenge, family couple retreats just independently with us and some resources, outside resources. And that was a big thing of what God has done in our lives this year, of growing us together and then also just providing some opportunities to share that with some other people that, you know, God's design for us as a couple and how he's the originator of families and life as a couple, spiritually challenging each other, praying for each other, sharing what God is doing as far as our own personal Bible study, and just helping us to grow closer together as a couple, even though, you know, we've been married over 40 years, but it can sometimes get to where, as one person said, you feel like you're roommates and just kind of managing the household and the family, and you want your marriage to be more than that. And so God has been doing that in our lives as well, and I'm just so, so thankful that I have faith in a loving and faithful God and great provider, and he's taking care of us and challenging us to share that with others. There's a ton more.
Thank you. Who else this morning? No, there's more than two. Sneak through here. That's all right.
I was not going to say anything, but I guess God's telling me to. this is not a huge thing, but a while back I was praying and asking God just to show my kids how he will provide in the smallest of things, okay? Because a lot of times people are only willing to share or they'll tell a story that's huge, you know, like suicide and, you know, this is tiny, okay? But it was, I think, October, maybe November, I'm not for sure. Mason got a new bedroom and Adeline was moving to Mason's bedroom, and Ellen was picking out what she thought was going to be new bedding, okay? And she wanted teal. Okay, great. Well, I started looking at the ones that she was looking at. I'm like, honey, we are not spending money on that, okay? So that was number one. And then number two, she was looking for a Christmas dress. And I was showing her some, and she like, I want that one. I'm like, okay, that would work. Anyway, we are a big-time thrift store people. And I go to the Elgin thrift store quite frequently on bag days. And we walk in there, Adeline and I, and we walk to the back room, and boom, there is a teal comforter identical to the color that she wanted. And I'm like, look at this, it's $2. Anyway, so she got a comforter. Okay, then we walk, and we the next time, and I find the exact dress that she had picked out on the internet that I never ordered, because I really don't buy things new very often. So those are two little things that God provided for her, just and proved, shows that God wants to provide the little things for you in a simple thing of a dress and a comforter. There's one more thing, but I can't say it right now because it hasn't been given. But I put a need out there, or a want, and within 3 minutes, we had one. And so it's just a great reminder to us and to children, to adults, that whatever you ask God for, he's going to provide for it in one way or another. And it can be the smallest of things, like a comforter.
Thank you, Abby. God does work in the little things. Any of our young people have anything that God's been doing in their life this year that they want to share? Maybe I should have qualified how young. Oh, Rodney, he's young.
There's a lot going on. I'm sure you all are aware. This year's been a whirlwind. We have plane tickets. We leave Valentine's Day to move to the other side of the world. And last night was the last night running my business that... This has been a lot of fun. It's been really trying. But man, the stories that I have. I have met people in that little pub in downtown from all over this earth. I've met people from Argentina, Portugal, Nigeria, South Africa, China. I mean, just like everywhere. And the stories that I have been able to share with them and hear from them has been mind-blowing. If I just was able to share some of them, they'd be like, there's no way that's happened. And to think that that's happened in just a small, humble town like Atkinson, it's been pretty cool. And my business was always about people. It was always about relating to people and getting to know people. And I kind of wrote a post on Facebook, last week or so, kind of sharing some news. Most people don't know that Alicia and I spent a lot of time naming our business The Well. And that's from John chapter 4 with the woman at the well. And she goes to the well to get a drink of water, and she meets Jesus there, and he needs a drink of water. But what she ends up walking away with is life. She walks away with a life encounter with the Savior of the world. And it was our dream that this little pub, people would come in thinking they just needed something to drink, a little bit of food, but they would walk away with more life than they came in with. And so life was kind of our theme. The place was the well. And as I was writing the post, like so often does, it just kind of writes itself. Lish and I are going on staff with Zoe International. And the Zoe is the Greek word for life. And what we're coming to understand, at least I'm coming to understand, is we're just kind of trading, doing one way of life for another. And I don't receive compliments well. I just don't. But I get all these people that come up to me like, man, it takes a special person to go do what you're doing. I'm like, I am anything but special. Like, this is crazy. It's just what I think we're supposed to do. And so we're being faithful to go do it. And this process has been hard. It's taken a lot of energy, a lot of strength, and I have not done it well. I have not done it gracefully. I am not some super Christian by any stretch of the imagination. But being able to go to, I don't know, a dozen different churches and speak in small groups and talk to them and meet people from all over the United States and kind of telling them about this new path that God is leading us on to go and help find and rescue kids resonates with people. It doesn't matter if they claim the banner of Christ or not. The idea that kids are being taken advantage of and used as commodities kind of penetrates pretty deep. And so being able to just relate to perfect strangers in that way, the world we live in now is so insanely divided that, like, I guarantee you every single person in this room has guarded their tongue around certain people that they were with in the last couple weeks. Like, oop, I'm not going to talk about that because I would rather have a peaceful environment. But this topic kind of transcends that. And people relate to it. And so being able to actually have something that we can agree on and talk about and decide that that's valuable and important has really been almost refreshing being able to do. And I have no idea why God has asked our family to be a part of this. He's still writing the story. We're figuring it out. And people ask, are you excited? There's a lot of stuff to get done before we can be excited. And kind of closing up the business last night was just part of that process. So I'm not entirely certain what exactly God is weaving together, what the path is. It's still kind of murky and muddy. It's just, this is the journey that we're on. And I know, like RJ kind of mentioned, like some things are a little bit more public and other things more private. You all have been kind of able to see that this is kind of a bigger deal. Not a lot of people just drop everything and move to the other side of the planet, so that's just different. That's not a common story. But there's all these little things that are happening behind the scenes that have been challenging us and frustrating us and making it seem really difficult and doubtful, and we're just having to put one foot in front of the other and figure it out as we go.
I just want to read a familiar verse or two to you from Galatians 5 and then explain what God taught me about this year. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then it says, against such things there is no law. For the longest time, I thought that was something I needed to accomplish. and through our band, our discipleship band devotionals, I learned that I cannot accomplish these because it says the fruit of the Spirit. Now, Rodney, I would just say maybe you're not special, but you are willing. And I think that's the key. If we are willing to allow God to work through us, in other words, if I am willing to allow God to work through me, he can accomplish love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I only need to be willing.